Paul, with no Matthew Perreault tonight, I know based on practice yesterday, Bork will go on to that line, but how do you manage that in-game with how much of the different areas you've been able to use Matthew Perreault kind of up and down your lineup?
So it's a change special teams on the power play as well. We'll take a look at the group, how they're going out. The other options are Shaw and also Shore on that right wing spot, because Shaw has played center ice in the American League for quite some time. So we're not looking for a perfect fit. We're looking for pace from all four lines, and we'll learn a little something new with different players going into that hole. But it hasn't mattered over year who's played really with Kopp and Lowry. They've always come in and done a good job and played well because those two are so consistent with their game.
So Luoto goes in on the fourth line.
Correct.
Any other changes?
None.
Ellie's in net.
Correct.
What's the biggest challenge Carolina throws at you with the success they've had as of late?
They are on the puck and as quick on the puck as any team that you'll see, lifting sticks, putting pucks at the net, creating chaos off that. They move it very quick. They don't hang out to it for a whole long. So if you're not matching that speed and that intensity on the puck, you're going to be chasing the game quite a bit. And then the same thing would be true if you have the puck. If you're slowing your game down to find a lane to make a play, they will close those lanes off. And if not, and at times you'll see they'll just knock things down. Really good set of hands. Lots of really good skill. I think quietly though, their back end in a lot of ways drives that team. They've got some good size, again, really good sticks, but they skate well, they move the puck well, so they're efficient with their defensive game.
What do you lose when Matthew Perreault comes
in? Trip Tracy's in the house, ladies. He was hiding back there. It's good to see you, my friend. Yeah, everybody's in town. Look at that. How was Banff, fellas? Good? Enjoy yourselves? Nice. Nice. Welcome to Winnipeg. Brought the weather in for you.
Matthew Perreault, just going back to him, what do you lose when he comes out of the lineup?
Just energy, personality as well on our bench. Like, he's a really upbeat guy. And then specifically in the game, he could play for Carolina in that on the puck idea, right? He's not the biggest guy out there, but he knocks an awful lot down, causes a tremendous amount of chaos. And then when he touches it, he can make something offensive happen. What's been great about Matty this year is it's a big jump to go from left to right for him. And in a bit of a defensive role, he's been playing against the other team's best a lot of shifts. There hasn't been any wrinkles over there. He's been as good positionally on the right as he was on the left. So we miss Matty, but we've dealt with that since day one, guys being out of our lineup and finding somebody else to do a job.
And just with, I don't want to call it a resurgence, but the way that Mark Scheifele and Cal Connor have kind of played and the point totals that they're putting up now, is it that just a byproduct of that line starting to gel together, or what is it with just
I thought when they first went together, there were an awful lot of video clips where they almost completed a play. Like, you could understand what they were trying to do. Certainly there's a little bit of risk to it, but you knew they had the hand skills and the ability. At some point these plays were going to start to happen, so they're really were just and still are still trying to get in sync with each other offensively. Well, the difference between that line for me when it's really going is actually defensive. You know, when they're stopping and starting and they've got lots of confidence in their offensive game, so they're not forcing any pucks. It's just they have shifts where they just get on and off the ice and nothing happens. That's when you can really start playing them a lot and playing them against everybody.
Paul, just on the forwards, there's no extra healthy forwards here. Was there a thought of calling someone up, or you have Carl Dahlstrom, I guess, as insurance?
Right, and that would be the idea, that because we're not in a heavy schedule right now and we've been at home, the next Winnipeg Jet that could go into our lineup would be 7-11. I'd be fine with that. And we basically ran that for half the game against them, and we actually started to play better. We got a little bit more of a rhythm by our forwards with a shorter bench. We will look at that, though, after this game, because every NHL team's got two or three guys that got a little bump and a little bruise here. So we assess that after the game. And then the roster freeze comes into effect, too, I believe, on the 19th. We have to take that into consideration. So between tonight and post-practice tomorrow, we'll make a decision.
And then just one on any parallels you maybe see between your team and Carolina. We've heard a lot this year from your group about fun, that this group seems to really be having a lot of fun. That obviously winning helps that. But when you look at a team like Carolina, I don't know if there's a team that looks like they're having more fun than the Hurricanes we saw last year and again this year. Is there something to be said for how that group rallied together and what they were able to do that is contagious?
Yeah, I think the base of fun starts somewhere else, and it starts with hard work and compete. And I know they have tough camps and hard camps, and hard work is something they're real proud of there. And I would say the same is here. So that the can't speak for Carolina's staff, but here, if that's there, if we've gone and pushed hard in practice, you can smile, right? You can enjoy, and then usually if you're working that hard, you're probably winning some games, so they all kind of go together. You work hard, you win, and then the fun is there. We've been a competitive group, and we've kind of rallied around some unusual situations that happened to us early in the year. So they've earned the right to have fun, because we've become pretty darn consistent with our work ethic, and that, you know, I mean, there's be hard on a coach if you weren't working hard, weren't winning, everybody was having fun. Well, you probably wouldn't be around long enough to worry about it, but that'd be a challenge.
Nobody's called you a bunch of jerks, though.
Not yet. Well, not to our faces. I know what happens when I leave, Ken.
Not for me. You said you wanted to get him some game action. What have you heard about Mason Appleton since he's been
built in the games that he's been playing? So there is an adjustment. I mean, it was a 6 weeks almost flat off the ice. And that's it. He's getting better. He got an assist there the other night, so he just needs more time with the puck.
Back to Scheifele, he'd said about his line, and he thinks it rings true on the power play as well. He says guys are in their right spots, and that's why everyone's having success. The guys are in the right spots. Now, it sounds simple to be the guy who's in the right spot, but what does it take to be that player or that team that are consistently in the right spot?
An understanding of the why of that and what he's talking about, the hands. The power play as well, but 5-on-5, what can you count on when Mark has a right-handed shot, comes out of the right corner? Is it a lefty in the slot or is it a righty? And the more times you can have a lefty in that slot, the better it is. Can they move off it? The other players that anticipate where Mark's going with the puck, it happens really fast, so you're not going to get it right every time. But when you talk about chemistry and they say he's always in the right spot, he's always, you know, they know where he's going to be without looking. That's the anticipation of what the puck carrier is going to do with that puck. That's the chemistry. And as I had said earlier, we thought there was a lot of video there where they're almost right there. They're either a little late recognizing where this puck was going to go, and then some of that has started to come where it's anticipation. Right, and it's an understanding of what the other player's strengths are. Mark's been very, very good bottom of the circles down behind the net, coming out even under one or two man pressure. And then what happens off that is as much about Mark's hands as it those two guys putting themselves in a place to be open for Mark. He can make the pass, he'll get it to you, but you need to be in a place that it makes sense for him to try. If there's four guys on you, there's no point in us trying to give you that puck. So we use chemistry all that time. I would say the anticipation between players comes from kind of nonverbal cues of understanding where they're supposed to be.
So would that be an area in which Patrick Laine has made great gains this season?
The bigger one with Patrick is when you don't... So all of those things that we just said with the puck are completely true without the puck, right? If you're a decent defensive line, it's the Kopp and Lowry effect. Those two guys understand where the other guy's going to be, because if Adam's going north on a puck carrier, Andrew Kopp knows exactly what Adam Lowry's going to do, and then he can move off that. He doesn't have to check. So Patrick Laine would have had, as all young players, way more variation in what they were going to do in any particular play. So they're harder to read off. He slows your game down. You become a less effective defensive group. So when he straight lines somebody in the corner and gets a bump on him or just runs that route, the other two players can run theirs, and then you become... Then you become quick. So not everybody has to be fast to be considered fast, right? You can play fast. Cal Connor's a fast guy. But Patrick Laine can play quick by making a decision, run his route, and the other two guys do the same.
With how well you know Rod Brind'Amour, how much of how the Canes play is a reflection of how he played and his personality?
So I think with Rod, what would be true would be consistency level. And start in one aspect of his game, just his face-offs. When the puck was coming down, he was definitely more wired than the guy across from him. That was true then about his whole game, right? He was didn't have lulls in his game. He didn't have a 10-minute when he spaced out, or if he didn't score, it didn't bother him the next shift. You know, he wanted to produce, but he was very present the entire time in the game, aware of the score, but very, very consistent. And that is as much, it's a talent as well. It's an attribute, a guy that can come out and stay focused for that 60 minutes every shift, whether he was on the bench watching the game or on the playing. So you would find that, I think, in Carolina, a pretty darn consistent hockey team. I haven't clearly watched them as much as you guys have, but when I do, you can turn on and watch a period of Carolina play and you go and say that's their game, right? I'm not talking about the first and second in Calgary, but just in general, when they're consistent with their game, and that would have been true of Rod.